And you're listening to 91.7 FM WHUS Doors. I am Fran Storch, and you are now listening to Radio Naturopath. And for the next hour, you'll get some really great information on health and natural medicine. And we would love to hear from you. So the number to call is 860-486-9487. That's 860-486-9487. You may write to me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. You may also text me at 860-486-9487. So call us, write us, get those questions out. We would love to answer your questions. In the meantime, we'll just think of stuff to talk about.
I'm sure we will.
I know. So I was thinking, you know, the last few days, it's been dreary. I was talking to patients yesterday about how I'm looking at the sweaters, the very nice sweaters that are piled up neatly in my closet. And usually at some point in April, I'm looking at them going, should I take a few of those downstairs? Should I bring the spring clothes up? And I'm looking at them going, they all look really nice. I'm leaving them right where they are. Shorts, what's that?
Not ready yet.
I'm starting to think we live in Minnesota, winter in July.
Yes.
Yeah,
no.
That it's been
no,
very...
No, we're just in northeastern corner of the country. You know, I have had... My birthday is at the end of April. I have had 85 degrees on my birthday. I have had snow on my birthday.
Sure.
So,
yes.
You know, I mean, it's Connecticut. It's what
yeah.
we do.
It's what we do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's what happens, I guess.
Right.
It's not what we do. I mean, we have no control of the weather, but...
No. But I noticed that I was looking at how many miles I had on my bike, road miles I had on my bike last year versus this year. And this year, I've got about 100 miles less.
Than you had last year?
Yes.
So it's no different.
What do you mean it's no different?
It's 100 miles. That's not much.
Yeah, no. It's maybe more like 150.
Yeah,
it's significant. It's about a week's worth, something like that.
Oh,
I mean, We also have a guest today.
Yes, we do.
Yes, and so we're speaking with
Matthew Finer.
Matthew Finer, and he is one of the finer things in life.
Thank you,
Ron. Please help me. Who is Matthew Finer?
Matthew Finer is a local bicycle activist. I'll say local being the state of Connecticut local,
yes.
But primarily I would say to the New Haven region,
yes.
More so than anything else. And someone that I have known for a very long time, and he also owns a bicycle shop in New Haven called the Devil's Gear Bike Shop.
Okay.
So that's who Matt, and he's also an artist, and he's a
very
interesting man.
You'll notice I'm already wisecracking on your number of miles has already climbed from 100 to maybe 150.
Right.
The king of sarcasm and wisecracking over here.
So I thought he'd be an entertaining addition, and even though he's here to guest on Ron's show, he's probably going to add some, you know, he's going to like auditorily photobomb us.
Right. It's the price you pay for coming early.
Yeah.
Great.
That's
it. I love it.
That you get to be on Radio Naturopath.
And I'm making art at the same time.
Oh, that's hot.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
He's
sitting there making art. He's got his newspaper out, and he's using a very fine razor to cut stuff out that he's going to make the art with. It's really quite something. So I said something when this gentleman came in and Ron came in, and I said, I wanted to talk about caffeine today. The reason I wanted to talk about caffeine is I have kind of a love-hate relationship with caffeine. And one of the things is I'm really probably – I was also – when I was on the way over – when I was – you can't see this, but
– that was a radio visual how do you put that to words?
I just
radio?
Snorted a line of caffeine.
Yes!
That's the best way
he
to
put it. Did! Yes.
There you go.
And you can't see that. I know. It's too much. So
it's a beautiful thing.
So I on the way over, I was listening to the radio, and there was an ad for 23andMe.
Mm-hmm.
And 23andMe is very interesting. 23andMe, you see, now they figure out how to figure out the human genome. So it's not too hard to do. And it probably doesn't cost very much for a person to just have their – there's like a very simple machine that will take your genome, and you don't need a lot of cells. I mean, you do a cheek swab. You scrape off some cells from your cheek, or you just spit into a tube. You
right.
send saliva, and then you're going to have a number of cheek cells in the saliva. and they can figure out your entire genome. So 23andMe, it's called 23andMe because we have 23 pairs of chromosomes, or 46 total chromosomes, and they can very easily elaborate your genome for you. And so the raw data is your genome. And then the fun stuff that you pay money for is you get all these cool reports.
Right.
And so when you do 23andMe specifically, they do a couple of things. They do your ancestry. Now, how they know which genes correlate to which ancestry, I'm not entirely sure, but they do that. I'm betting, I would put money on, I'm going to come up 90%+ Eastern European Jewish. That it's, I'm not going to have a very exciting genome at all. Yeah.
You'd be really surprised at what people pops up.
Right.
Up in their
I know. Yeah. People come up Native American. And my girlfriend, Stephanie, who is Eastern European Jewish, came up with some percentage Asian. And if you look at her and both
Which
of her
makes
parents,
sense if you look at her,
you can see it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and their ancestry is Russian. So that does make sense. Because, you know, the Mongolians and the Chinese make it up into Russia. And so way back, there was probably an ancestor who was Asian.
Well, there was probably some surge, too, some, you know, where they were conquering and, and doing all that. And somewhere along the line, somebody got impregnated by someone else.
I suppose. Or maybe somebody just really liked somebody. Could have happened that way, too. Why not?
That's sweet. I like that sweet way of putting that.
She's such a girl sometimes.
Right.
I like
you know
that. This foreign invading force fell in love with some young lady that was there, and totally possible.
It is possible. Yeah. It is possible.
And maybe just somebody was on a very long hike and showed up in a town.
Maybe.
And took a wife.
Is that what the kids are calling it now? A hike?
Oh, no. They're schlepping across the country. I still call it schlepping. Anyway, here I am going. I'm listening to this 23andMe, and there's a conversation between two people. And the woman was talking with a gentleman about why she could or couldn't do certain things because her genetic report showed this or that. And one of the things she talked about is that her genetic type showed that she's likely to consume more caffeine than other people. And so
I've got that gene.
You may. I almost certainly do not. And the gene they're talking about, well, you see, when you talk about the genes, you're talking about the actual enzyme that breaks down caffeine, and then there is what we call an SNP, a single nucleotide polymorphism. The SNP is, that's the actual encoding of the gene itself.
Okay.
So you have the actual enzyme, and then you have the encoding of the gene as to how the enzyme behaves. So caffeine is metabolized by a cytochrome P450 enzyme. It's abbreviated CYP1A2. And so there's a SNP that's associated with it, which I don't know off the top of my head. It's not important for the moment. But anyway, one of the things they look at for you when you do your 23andMe is your CYP1A2. And so they're going to tell you whether you're a fast metabolizer or a slow metabolizer of CYP1A2. And so if you are a person who can drink caffeine and you can drink it through the day and you sleep well and you're like on your fourth cup of coffee and you're still feeling pretty good and maybe gives you a little bit of energy, and then if you can pretty much drink caffeine through the day and go to sleep normally, then you are probably a fast metabolizer of CYP1A2. I am not.
Yeah, I can go until the late afternoon.
And it's questionable with you because there's probably other factors involved with you. So we don't know. Like if you were to have a strong cup of coffee at bedtime and then you can't sleep, you may actually be a slow metabolizer for your CYP1A2, but you have other factors. You have other things that make your metabolism happen quickly. And so those are contributing to speeding the caffeine through your body.
Right.
So it's not clear to me whether you would be a fat. I can almost guarantee you for myself that I'm a slow metabolizer, CYP1A2.
Oh, I know. Fran on a half a cup of coffee is a good time.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
I'm a cheap date. I'm a cheap date for caffeine. I'm a cheap date for alcohol. It's
yes, you
pretty
are.
Pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of an Eastern European Jewish thing that you don't do too well with the alcohol dehydrogenase. So you listening, you may find that you are one or the other, that you can do caffeine all day and you do fine. And if you are, then caffeine is not going to be very harmful to you. It's people like me, the slow metabolizers, that we can experience some harm from caffeine. So there's caffeine itself, and then there's the stuff that caffeine is in. And the stuff that caffeine is in may have, it has ways of altering the delivery system. And also, you should see these two guys. They both just took a stereo sip of their caffeinated beverages. And guess what I'm sitting here with? Water.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm going to fake
it. It's a clear liquid. That's what we can tell from here.
It's a clear liquid. That's all we know.
Right.
That's all we know.
Zero proof vodka.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Actually, to defend the caffeine thing, too, that is not caffeine. That is actually,
That's ginger tea.
It's ginger turmeric tea. Yes.
Oh, all right.
That's what it is.
That's
because
fine.
I'm trying to be nice to my belly right now.
Well, it's good, good for your belly and an anti-inflammatory.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, turmeric, really good.
It is all of those.
Yeah. I make a mean turmeric ginger tea.
Yeah. Okay.
With a couple of sticks of ginger in there too. It's really
okay.
good.
Sounds
oh
good,
God,
man.
It's great. Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah.
And then on Saturday night, there goes the shot of bourbon, in the turmeric ginger. That would be interesting. Turmeric ginger.
Toddy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Drop a little butter in there for slow absorption.
Mm.
Nice idea. Yeah. Like it. Wow. We should talk.
I know I'm a thinker over here.
Yeah, it's good.
And
I
an
like
artist.
It.
And a gentleman, we think.
I am a gentleman. Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do actually put myself in that category.
Okay. Now, what makes you a gentleman?
Well, you haven't heard me swear yet.
That's true. And
that's
we hope not
because
to.
You can't.
I'm polite. I ask people how they are, even if they start their conversation with something else.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's nice.
And there's a bare light bulb flashing in my face.
Yes.
Oh, that's the caller.
Yes,
that's, cool.
That's exactly
see,
what it
and
is.
And I'm fast on the uptake.
Like, yes.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about the benefits of caffeine. So we'll start with the benefits of caffeine. So in Japan, there was a study that showed that caffeine increases memory, and another study out of Johns Hopkins showed that a 200-milligram caffeine pill helped boost memory consolidation. So that's interesting. I wonder what the mechanism of action of that. See, but when they tell me that this research is true, then I'm interested in why it's true. So you have to think about what caffeine does. Caffeine is a phosphodiesterase inhibitor. Woohoo! So what the heck does that mean? What's phosphodiesterase? Phosphodiesterase is an enzyme, and its job is to break down catecholamines. Catecholamines are neurotransmitters that are kind of uppers. So your dopamine and your norepinephrine are both catecholamines. And phosphodiesterase is responsible for breaking those down. So if you block phosphodiesterase, your dopamine and your norepinephrine and your epinephrine are going to hang around longer. So it's going to give you a buzz. It's going to make you feel higher, and it's going to give you what we call sympathetic effects. And that could mean that you feel more positively inclined towards your fellow human. But what it actually means in neurological terms is that your sympathetic nervous system is activated. And that's the part of your that's the part of your autonomic nervous system, your involuntary nervous system, that involves fight or flight. And fight or flight, but your fight or flight nervous system is going to make it so that you breathe harder. There's more circulation that goes to your lungs. It goes to your blood vessels, in your skeletal muscles. It goes to your brain such that you're going to be interested in running away from a bear. So it makes you think that you're in danger, or you're in a situation where you have to do something right now, whether it's exercise, whether it's run out of here, whether it's just be active, whether it's just, you know, walk around and do the laundry and just be active. As opposed to rest and digest, which is your parasympathetic nervous system, where you're quiet, you're chilling out, you're repairing, you're even sleeping, you're eating. Hopefully you're relaxed while you're eating. A lot of people eat while they are not relaxed, but hopefully you're relaxed while you're eating. That's your parasympathetic nervous system. And so caffeine puts you into a higher sympathetic tone.
It puts you somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the things that happens is, as we said, the caffeine increases memory. So think about how this works. If you're increasing your sympathetic tone, one of the things that happens is when you're in high sympathetic tone, one of the places you go is your eyes dilate. And when your eyes dilate, you're able to get more information out of what you see. And if you're trying to run away from a bear, that's a good thing. So you want to be able to see more stuff. And so you're processing a lot of information and you're processing it faster so that you can get out of danger now. And it can do a couple of things. If you are if you're flooded too much with these hormones, you forget what happens. On the other hand, if you get the right amount of these hormones, these neurotransmitters, you will actually remember things more because you're processing information and you're using it so that you can hang on to it, so that you can see exactly what you need to do to get away from that bear, to get around that corner, to get in the top 10, to get to the sprint line, to make it up that hill, whatever it is you're trying to do. So that makes sense that if you're in high sympathetic tone, that you are going to be able to process memories more and you're going to remember things more readily because you're hyper aware when you're in high sympathetic tone. So the next thing, this is also interesting, something that's interesting for athletes, which is that caffeine mixed with carbs replenishes muscle glycogen concentrations faster after exercise. So if you do some caffeine, you and I like to go to the cafe after we've had a good hard bike ride.
Mm-hmm.
That's maybe not such a bad thing.
Bike rides in quotes. Quotes, bike ride. Yeah.
Quotes, yes, in quotes.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. So that's the running joke right now is everything's in quotes.
Everything's in quotes. Oh, my. So anyway, caffeine mixed with carbs. So if you go to your favorite coffee place and you get that sweet drink after you have your if you put some sugar in your coffee or if you have one of those designer drinks, that may not be a bad thing because the caffeine is going to direct sugar back into your muscle cells, so you're going to have more glycogen available for use while you're exercising, so that's a helpful thing. So
what about fat?
Well, we haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. Because I was curious about that. Yeah, because I put butter in my coffee.
Yeah,
right.
I do that.
No,
yeah.
I do. I really
do. No, I understand.
And
bullet,
I've been doing it for
coffee.
I've been doing it for about 15 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was something I picked up from, I don't know, somewhere where someone had a lump of butter in their, I think I picked it up from a toddy. I was like, it's good in a toddy, why not put butter in your coffee to make it a little creamier?
Yeah. Oh, it's real good.
Yeah. And then of course Bullet Coffee 2 years ago was you had to buy that little device to make it.
No, you don't.
All right.
No,
no
you
don't.
Don't.
No, you just
no,
put
you
in
don't.
Your you put in your butter, your MCTs and
MCTs?
Yes, medium chain triglycerides. Yeah, that's the thing.
Can
that
I buy
you put
a bag
in
of that?
It'll leak out the bag.
It'll leak, yeah. It's
oil.
Basically coconut oil in a liquid form.
Okay. Well, it's extract of coconut oil. Yes, the beneficial fats that are high in coconut oil are medium-chain triglycerides. And the cool thing about medium-chain triglycerides is that they're very easily absorbed. They're rapidly absorbed, and they're absorbed in your stomach as opposed to other fats that need to be absorbed in your intestines. And so if you're consuming MCTs while you're working out or around a workout, you're going to be energized more rapidly. And so
thank you.
Right. So that's the whole deal with Bulletproof Coffee. The deal with Bulletproof Coffee now, we're going on a sidetrack, but okay. So you've got the caffeine, mm-hmm. and you've got your butter.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you're grass-fed, coming from grass-fed cows. Mm-hmm. And so you've got your butter, and then usually use MCT oil. You could use coconut oil too.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're doing is you're slowing the absorption of that caffeine.
Right.
And so you get, instead of getting a jolt, you're getting you're getting a soft infusion of caffeine. It's you're getting a
time
release. Yes.
Right.
Exactly. A sustained release instead of getting it all at once.
Did you know that caffeine may be headed back to the WADA's banned list?
I could believe it.
Right.
Can you believe it? The World Anti-Doping Agency is now looking at caffeine once again.
And one of the things they talked about was a lot of the things that are not banned are far more dangerous than caffeine.
Oh, God, yes.
Well, like that time they the 94 Olympics in Atlanta when the mountain biker tested positive for pot and they were going to suspend him or take him out of the Olympics, and then they realized that pot wasn't on their suspension list.
Right.
So they couldn't do anything.
Right.
It's not considered a performance-enhancing drug.
No.
So Michael Phelps is safe.
Michael, God bless him.
Yeah, good for him.
God bless him.
I don't
for goodness
care.
Sakes, he probably needs it. And the thoughts around marijuana are changing.
Right.
And that now that marijuana is being legalized in so many places, and get a clue, people, it's so much safer than so many other drugs out
right.
there.
Oh, my God.
Right. The fact that it's illegal, the fact that so many people have gone to jail in its name.
You need to talk to your federal government about this, though,
yeah.
because even states it's legal. It's illegal to process any money associated with it,
no.
or you could get broken into by, you know,
yep.
the feds. I know.
The old feds.
And also, Connecticut actually gives you a tax stamp. It's available to sell pot. Even though it's not legal to sell pot, Connecticut still distributes a tax stamp.
Do they really?
Yes.
Oh, my brain hurts.
Oh, man.
You're like, wait a second.
But
all right, so getting back to caffeine.
Right, let's get back to caffeine. Oh,
getting back
wait
on topic.
Second.
We drifted. Hang on. Take another swig. There you go.
Where's the part about how caffeine helps focus? Anyway, so...
See, there isn't a part about that because it doesn't.
So caffeine detoxes the liver and cleanses the colon. And so some people use... some people do caffeine enemas. They do coffee enemas. There are several schools of thought where putting caffeine directly into the colon is helpful, and it's going to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I've done that.
Yeah.
I did a lot of cleansing in Austin, Texas, and one of the ones that I had to do was a caffeine
enema
cleanse.
Sure.
And it really does.
Really?
Oh, my God. I felt incredibly weak afterwards. My body was flushing out. And
yeah.
But the next day I felt phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're putting caffeine in. Coffee especially. Coffee and caffeine. I think with coffee, it's not just the caffeine because there are polyphenols in coffee. And these things push the function of your liver. And so what they are is they're cholagogues and choleretics. And caffeine it induces your liver enzyme. It induces your liver to work at a higher rate and at a higher efficiency. So you're going to detox stuff out of your liver. The other thing is it's going to help you metabolize faster. So if there's extra fat and extra sugars hanging around in your liver, you're going to metabolize those better. And so if you introduce the coffee directly into your colon, I mean, I'm not a big enema fan personally. And I have patients who come in and say, I do my coffee enemas every day or most days. And I support them. I say, if you want to do that, I think that's fine. I also feel like, you know, we were intended to ingest things with our mouths and have stuff come out the other end. And I'm going to stick with that. But the idea of enemas, it's something that people have done for thousands of years. So in that sense, if people want to do it, it's fine. And the fact is, when you introduce caffeine, there are a lot of blood vessels in the rectum and the sigmoid colon. So you're going to absorb that caffeine very readily. And so you're right in the enterohepatic circulation right there. So it's going to really, there's a direct communication between the colon and the liver. And so when you absorb, when you place that the coffee into your colon, you're going to be absorbing those polyphenols and the caffeine directly into your enterohepatic circulation. So it's going to go directly to your liver. It's a very efficient way to get it in. And that's why people feel different. You know, they feel effects right away when they do it because you're really getting it to where it's going to work quickly. And you can get a little lightheaded and dizzy. You can have some side effects from it. You have to be careful how you do it. If you have a lot of detoxing to do, you may be releasing old toxins that your liver is storing for you, and you may be delivering them releasing them rapidly. So you have to be careful if you're doing it for the first time. But it does promote detoxification that way. Here's a big DUH. Caffeine helps you keep you alert while driving during periods of sleep restriction.
No kidding, really?
Really?
If I had only known.
Right? I know.
I didn't know that.
It's very
no,
silly.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. So. Duh. So somebody bothered to study it, and they said, yep, if you do a double-blind placebo-controlled study, the group that doesn't do the caffeine is more likely to fall asleep at the wheel than the group that drinks the caffeine.
I hope someone didn't pay a lot of money for that study.
I know, right? I mean, really. I'm here to say it doesn't matter what kind of caffeine you do. I mean, I've done cola, and works just fine. You know, if you want to control how much caffeine you're getting, there's less caffeine in a cola drink than there is in a cup of coffee. And so if I don't want to, you know, keep myself awake all night, but I want that little bit of caffeine, I'll do the cola. I will also do tea over coffee.
More caffeine.
More caffeine in what?
Tea.
Well, it depends.
It depends on the roast of the coffee bean.
It depends on the roast of the coffee bean, and it depends on the tea as well.
Yeah, and the tea as well.
Yeah.
Black tea as opposed to...
Again, it depends. Right. If you're doing an English breakfast tea, it could have as much caffeine as a good cup of coffee. Yeah. If you're doing green tea, it has about half as much of oolong. It has a little bit less. White tea has the least amount, and it also depends on how you brew it. And I think it also depends. Like an English breakfast tea has several. It has Ceylon, it has Assam in it, and depending on who's making it, could have something else in it. And then you can have Ceylon or Assam separately. And those tend to be pretty bold, and they also tend to have more caffeine in them. If you do a straight-up orange pekoe, especially if you do a conventional pedestrian brand of orange pekoe, you might not get as much caffeine. Also, you might not get as much of anything unless you like the taste of dirt. No offense.
Leave the bag in.
Mm. Oh, yeah. My.
Right.
If you leave the bag in, it'll give you more flavor.
Right.
So, did you know that caffeine can stimulate hair growth on balding men and women? Did not know that. Now, that's interesting. I would love to know the mechanism of action on that. They took biopsies from the scalps of 14 men in the early stages of hair loss, then focused, so topically, they focused the hair follicles to solutions containing different levels of caffeine, and also to DHT, the hormone responsible for hair loss. After 8 days, even the hair follicles exposed to DHT showed growth.
How about that?
So this is topical.
Sounds like we need to get into the shampoo business.
Yes, so they're saying before you brew another cup of coffee, so you would, in order to if you want to drink coffee to grow your hair, you'd have to do way too much. You have to do like 6,000 milligrams of caffeine in a day. So you're not.
That's not unrealistic.
Your hair may stand up on end if you drink that.
That's
much.
What they mean by hair growth. They actually mean hair standing on end.
That's why I'm wondering. I mean, would it be better to just do? Topically, you know, because caffeine topically can be very nice if you're trying to stimulate hair growth. The other thing is, I think it's helpful in regenerating tissue. It's a popular ingredient. You know how people get bags under their eyes and you know you get dark circles and stuff. So when you get compounds, when you get nice ingredients to help your eyes without having to go have surgery, the ingredients are often vitamin K. So vitamin K, astaxanthin, which is a wonderful antioxidant. It's from marine plants.
And
astaxanthin?
Astaxanthin.
Mm. So do you know what color flamingos are?
Pink.
Not always. They're actually born white.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. You know why they're pink?
So they stand out and they're easy to hunt
for
the hawks?
They look good in your yard.
Because they look good in your yard,
right.
But what makes them pink? Why are they pink?
I know the answer to this.
Something to do with astaxanthin.
Very good.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that's
there you
it.
Go. You're there. Hands are in the air. He just won.
He crossed the finish line. That's right. So when they go, so if you have flamingos that happen to be inland and they're consuming too much freshwater stuff, they're going to be white.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
If they're in brackish water, they're eating stuff that's anywhere near or on marine life, then they're going to be eating little plankton, and they're going to be eating little fish and krill and stuff. And those little fish and krill have astaxanthin in them that turns them pink, just like salmon.
Is it mostly seafood based?
Yeah, pretty much.
But you get that from?
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah, seafood and, you don't have to eat fish or shrimp. You can eat spirulina and chlorella. You'll get some from marine plant life as well. Yeah. So, but mostly it's from, that's why shrimp are pink, especially that you get those nice shrimp, the ones from Stonington. And
so different.
Mm. Yeah. Yep. Mm. Right, and
it's
so
it's like
that,
an egg when you see a real farm egg. You know how bright the yolk is and how white the
commercial egg.
Yeah,
that's right.
Like a real egg is good. Like you just look at the difference, and it everything about it is.
So astaxanthin is a carotenoid, just like the stuff that colors your eggs. The difference in the color is because The feedlot chickens are not—they're not allowed to run around and scratch. So they're being given, usually they're being given GMO corn, and so they're not able to go out and scratch and eat bugs and grass, which is what free-range chickens eat. So once the chickens are out there eating plants and stuff, they're going to get carotenoids, or you're going to get a nice orange egg.
Yeah.
So if you see my palms, how they're kind of orange.
Because you eat real eggs.
Yeah, I eat real eggs. Well, I don't eat as many eggs as he does, but no, I eat real greens, lots of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, my like hands the first,
I made a cake one day with a couple eggs that a friend of mine had given me from his hens, and it was everything about it was different. The cake rose up higher. The whole it was
happy eggs,
better.
happy hens, happy eggs.
It was really funny.
It's good thing
because I went when I was first with Ron. He made us eggs for breakfast, and he had commercial eggs from the supermarket. And I'm like, why are you eating those?
Why are those in the refrigerator?
Yes. And I said, we're not doing that. We're gonna get free range eggs. So the next time we went to the store, we got the free range eggs, and Ron sat down and to eat the eggs. And his first mouthful, he's like, oh, this is so different. This tastes like the eggs that I got when I grew up on the farm.
Yeah.
And yeah. That was a face slap moment.
Yeah, face slap moment.
Head slap moment.
Yeah, definitely. And it does. I mean, they taste better. They're just everything about them is so much better.
Yeah.
It really, that's all we eat.
And they're going to have better proportions of all your good saturated fats and your choline and your carotenoids, like we just said. And the carotenoids are going to be more bioavailable because they're in the fat that's in the eggs. So you got to package with a delivery system with the choline.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Very nice. So caffeine can stimulate hair growth. Caffeine relieves post-workout muscle pain by up to 48%.
Yeah, I'd heard that.
So I'm assuming that that's because it increases circulation.
Did not know that.
Okay.
Yeah, because it increases circulation, and it's also going to help with delayed onset muscle soreness because it's stimulating your liver function.
So we get home from a bike ride on like a long Saturday bike ride.
In quotes, bike ride.
Okay, but in quotes, back, right? Yes. We get back. We
just
get home.
Fresh eggs.
I don't have any eggs anymore.
Sorry, you know where you are right now. Actually,
you're
in the pit. You're in the pit of a bike race right now.
Yes, pretty much.
Me and Ron are in the pit waiting for a wounded rider with a wounded bicycle to come in, and we're just wisecracking.
Yes, or you're on the Saturday morning ride.
Yeah.
Well, no. Oh no.
So anyway.
Oh my God, this is public, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. It's all public.
There's no wisecracking on the Saturday morning. What Saturday morning ride do you do?
I haven't been able to ride since. I've been not riding. I have an injury.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that later.
Another time.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
So what I was going to say is when we get done with our ride on Saturday or a long ride on Sunday, we come back, we have a protein shake. I make it with the leftover coffee.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah. So you get it. I'm getting the caffeine. Look, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I just did.
Good.
So how about that?
I don't do that. I wait till we go to the cafe because I have to ration my caffeine, unfortunately.
And I'm a no caffeine post-ride person. I drink coffee in the morning. Yeah, I generally don't drink it after 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
You might be a slow metabolizer after all.
No, I'm not. I'm a fast metabolizer.
Okay.
I just, it affects me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, in ways which cause.
Well, here's the thing, though. Like I said, with the CYP1A2, you could be a fast metabolizer, and then you have other factors that make you metabolize your caffeine a little bit faster. The other thing is, the more caffeine you drink, the more you're able to drink because your body's going to go ahead and it's going to induce what we call inducing. When you induce an enzyme, you cause that enzyme to be more active. You cause the genes that make the enzyme to make more of the enzyme. So for somebody like me, who I'm a slow metabolizer, if I do drink caffeine, I'm actually going to induce my CYP1A2. Even though it doesn't work so fast, my body's going to make more of it if I consume caffeine. So I might be able to handle a little bit more the more I drink. But if I don't drink it, it's going to, you know, white tea is going to affect me like gangbusters. And that's how sensitive I am. Yeah.
Nice.
So caffeine may protect against Parkinson's. Shows that people who consume coffee are at less risk of developing Parkinson's disease and even reduces the risk of those genetically more likely to develop the condition.
Wow.
So there's a study on it, and that's going to have to do with probably to do with circulation. I'm not sure what the mechanism of action there would be. So it has to do with how it affects the genetic expression. It's a genetic expression thing. That's I don't know if there's a I'm not sure if I can if I can say why the you know why directly it happens, but it's but it's genetic expression wise. When you have the caffeine on board, it will induce the genetic expression. It suppresses the genetic expression of the things that cause Parkinson's. So that's interesting. I can't really think about why it would protect it, and thinking about how it works, except that the only thing I could think of is that it detoxifies you more. And there's a lot of studies and thoughts about how Parkinson's, because it's a neurodegenerative disorder. I've known patients with Parkinson's. A lot of my Parkinson's patients worked in occupations where they had environmental exposures.
Chemical issues.
Yeah, that cause neurodegenerative conditions. And it can, and if you have a genetic predisposition, it can induce the genetic expression of the gene. And in some cases, it just there's a direct neurodegeneration.
Right.
Like when there were people who got Parkinson's from consuming synthetic heroin.
I remember that. That was when Michael J. Fox supposedly, God bless him, that whole thing came up. Not saying he did it,
no.
But they were saying something about synthetic heroin causing Parkinson's.
That's right.
Yeah,
because when you synthesize heroin, there's a synthesis process, and you have to do it in the lab. And if you when you synthesize chemicals, if depending on what route the chemicals take, you can get different compounds, and you can get heroin. So from the same synthetic process, you can get heroin. You can get a couple other compounds. One of the compounds you get is called MPTP. It's I forget what it stands for, but MPTP is a form of synthetic heroin, or it's one of the byproducts of the production of synthetic heroin, and then it goes right into your brain and it destroys the substantia nigra and the nigrostriatal dopaminergic pathway.
You know,
that's how it happens.
Wow. Right. Frank Ballard, the famous puppet person here from the University of Connecticut, he ran into Parkinson's later on in his life. And
it's tragic.
But he was with, lots of chemicals building puppets his whole career. So that's what he thinks it was. He thinks that it was probably that exposure.
The chemical exposure. Mm. Yeah. So caffeine helps ward off Alzheimer's. So again, I think that there's a couple of things there. One is that it's a circulatory issue. It improves circulation to the brain. But also, there's a thought that Alzheimer's is actually type 3 diabetes. Diabetes is a problem, not so much because of high blood sugar, but because of glycation, because sugar attaches to proteins, and it makes it so proteins don't work properly. So one of the benefits of caffeine, and especially coffee with the polyphenols, is that it stabilizes blood sugar. It makes your liver work more effectively. It makes your blood sugar regulation better because it works on liver glycogen, which means that you're going to regulate the sugar that gets to the brain. So when sugar gets into the brain, if there's too much of it, it's going to bathe the neurons in the brain, and you're going to get some glycation there. Glycation meaning sugar attaching to the proteins in the brain so that they don't work well. So if you have caffeinated beverages, you know, when they keep saying caffeine, and people don't just take caffeine pills.
No.
People drink coffee, and they drink tea, and they drink plants that have other stuff in them besides caffeine. So the caffeine is going to, not only is it going to have this effect of increasing circulation to all of these areas, you've got the polyphenols on board, which that also improve liver function, and also there's a lot of antioxidants in these compounds. So in coffee and tea and guayusa and mate and cola and cocoa, all of these things have major antioxidants in them. So you get this increased circulation from the caffeine, and then you got this whole bunch of antioxidants happening that the caffeine is helping to transport more efficiently to all these areas in the body. So Alzheimer's is one example of that. And I think the mechanism there, like I said, you're increasing circulation to the brain. And then, especially if you're doing coffee or tea, you're getting polyphenols into the brain that are preventing glycation. And you're also, the caffeine itself is improving blood sugar regulation by way of the liver, that because of how it improves glycogen storage and usage. So here's one for you. Caffeine increases stamina during exercise.
Oh, boy.
Quote, unquote, exercise.
Give me a D, give me a U, give me an H.
What's it spell?
Yeah.
Right. Wait, one more time?
Mm-hmm. Give me a D, give me a U, give me an H.
So if you have caffeine, if you have caffeine before or during your workout, you may perform better. So anyway, what's going on there? Again, good blood sugar utilization as well as freedom of free fatty acids, putting free fatty acids into your blood and making them available for you to burn.
Because they're freshly put in, is that why?
Yeah, that they're and you're increasing the you're increasing the mitochondrial activity, and you're helping to shuttle the shuttle the free fatty acids across the mitochondrial membrane faster so okay. that the mitochondria can do its thing in terms of the electron transport chain.
The body more magical than the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
When you
yeah.
think about
that
like,
is true.
It really is.
Oh, my goodness.
It really
is. What can I say?
There's so much going on. Well, and this is why the World Anti-Doping Association, that's why they're looking at this.
It definitely does increase. It's definitely a performance-enhancing ingredient.
If you don't
There's
mind,
no question
I'd like to go
it.
Back to the sugar type 3 diabetes.
Yes.
Like my crew at the shop knows, and my brother, my family knows, I cannot have a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like one of those people that like melt. If I can have like a half a piece of cake.
Yeah.
Okay, but if I have like a whole piece of cake and maybe another cake and maybe a cookie, I'm like a third grader after Easter.
Wow.
I have that meltdown. And I not only can I not think clearly,
yeah.
can't think straight, and I get very upset very easily.
Wow. How about that?
And then I'm just like done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you crash.
Yeah, because I
get
such
yeah,
a
so
sugar
you get, so yeah. It pushes a, you, yeah. And
I go flying up, yeah.
That's not unusual. I mean, I think most people do that, but the level to which they do that differs, but most people will be energized initially by sugar, and then mm-hmm. you have a crash, because the thing with sugar.
I definitely experience that.
When you consume sugar, you're using B vitamins, you're using magnesium, especially the B vitamins. B vitamins are very important for energy, and they push energy in your cells, and guess what else they push? The electron transport chain, which is inside your mitochondria, which gives you energy. And so when you consume sugar, say you have a piece of cake, it's got white flour in it, it's got white sugar in it, and it doesn't have... It's even depleted in the B vitamins that you need to actually metabolize. So after a while, you're going to run through the B vitamins that you have around, and you're going to be done with them, and so you're going to crash.
Yep. So if you're done the next day.
So one of the things you could do is, if you really want to have sugar, maybe you want to keep some B complex around. Take a B complex before you eat your cake. That would be just B12.
Right.
But
that's what I do.
You could do B12, but B12. It isn't like the best one for sugar metabolism. You're looking at the lower Bs, B1, B2, B3. They're the ones that are more active in your electron transport chain. That's why you might want to keep a B complex around if you want to do that.
And I usually, it's not even worth it half the time. The next day I'm so wrecked, even if I do take the B vitamin.
Yeah.
Mm. Like it's almost like a hangover.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Well, your liver's not
really
happy.
Your
liver's not, your liver's going, what are you doing this to me? For your liver doesn't process it efficiently for some reason.
Wow.
And that, again, that may be.
I'm glad I came early, man.
You
I
have a polymorphism.
I'm serious. Yeah. I'm really learning so much about caffeine and myself right now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And
that's good. And if you want to learn more, you can always go to whus.org and you can look up past episodes.
Nice.
And you can look at past episodes of Radio Naturopath.
Right.
So.
Did you know that caffeine through coffee protects against eyelid spasm? Who knew?
It protects eyelids. Against?
Yeah.
I thought that induced eyelid spasms.
God, it would seem
it's
like it would,
no.
wouldn't it?
I don't know. You'll get eyelid spasm is usually caused by stress, and the stress is because you're chewing through your B vitamins and and your magnesium, and you're not able to stay calm. The most common cause of eyelid spasm is just stress.
Well,
if you're exercising hard, you're sweating out a lot of your electrolytes, your calming minerals like your calcium, potassium, magnesium.
Yeah.
You're going to be more likely to have eyelid spasm too.
It always seems to point back towards magnesium.
Yeah, magnesium. Magnesium is very, very important.
It's a big deal.
Caffeine may protect against cataracts. Now, the cataracts thing is going back to the glycation. It's the caffeine helps you metabolize your sugar better. So if you're doing caffeine, you're going to speed circulation through, and the polyphenols, especially in coffee, are going to prevent glycation, sugar sticking to the proteins in the lens of your eyes. So
wow.
that's probably the mechanism there.
There's a new one.
Caffeine may protect against skin cancer. A new study out of Rutgers, upstream, red team, found that caffeine prevented skin cancer in hairless mice. Okay, fine. So
Whoa. Prevented hair cancer? Wait.
Skin cancer in hairless mice.
Hairless.
They were studying hairless. They're easy to get. What can I say? And also, caffeinated coffee drinkers have less risk of developing melanoma. And again, that's going to be an antioxidant thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much of that's the caffeine. I think the thing, again, with the caffeine is it provides a delivery system for the powerful antioxidants, and that's going to be why. People who consume caffeine have a lower risk of suicide.
That's not true.
Really?
That's not true.
What it
all.
Says.
Wait a second. Wait.
Let's
ponder on that one.
Lower.
So we know that there's a higher incidence of suicide in certain parts of our country, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
And that certain part of that of our country is very dark and damp and rainy and just kind of...
And really known for their cafes!
Yeah, known for their cafes. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of caffeine there.
Florida.
Oh, but you're saying it's not working.
Is what I'm saying.
Well, I think that the people who are committing suicide are probably not making it to the cafes. That's what I'll put together.
You're like, once you get that depressed, you don't want to go out and you don't want to make something for yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably got like the hand on it.
Right.
Oh, boy. I can't imagine that.
But on the other hand, you're going to be more likely to have coffee places in places where it's hard to, because think about it. How do these damp, chilly days make you feel? Do they make you feel like getting out and getting stuff done?
No, they make me feel like I need another cup of coffee.
And they make you feel like a bed and a book and a nap and another nap. And pretty much.
Right.
So a cafe might not do as well in a tropical place, theoretically.
Well, a bar does better there.
I was going to say a bar does.
Bars do better there, but a cafe might. But I don't know how true that is because people love their caffeine, and you know you can always go to the cafe and get a nice coffee. But people are more likely that people are happier in the tropics. You just see what's going on because
they have more vitamin D. They have more vitamin D.
Vitamin D, serotonin, thyroid, melatonin. There's a lot of reasons. It's not just the vitamin D. Yes, sun is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. I think Hemingway would argue that against that point.
Well, Hemingway had other problems. Well,
Hemingway was a very interestingly disturbed man.
Thank you.
I mean,
yes, he was.
Somehow, some levels of disturbance are impervious to large amounts of sunlight, and he proved that.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Low risk. Caffeine can reduce fatty liver in those with non-alcohol-related fatty liver disease. Again, this goes back to the... liberating free fatty acids as well as the blood sugar regulation piece. So people have diabetes, it can prevent diabetes and it can prevent fatty liver is related to diabetes. It's related to poor sugar metabolism. So caffeine can help with that. And again, that has to do with both the polyphenols and the caffeine being a good delivery system for the polyphenols. Also reduces liver fibrosis, which is related to that fatty liver. Liver fibrosis is when you get the fatty replacement and then you get scarring of the liver. So it can protect against that as well. Here's a fun one. Caffeine-consuming men showed increased semen volume and significantly less sperm DNA fragmentation than non-caffeine-consuming men. So that I'm going to guess is it has to do with... there are adrenergic receptors. The receptors for the hormones, that the neurotransmitters that caffeine induces in the mechanism for storing and releasing semen. So there are alpha adrenergic receptors down there. So when you consume the caffeine, you're going to be able to fill up a little bit more and have more to give, so it seems. And so the other piece is that, again, when you look at coffee and tea and a lot of the compounds that a lot of the plants that caffeine is contained in, there's lots of antioxidants. They all have they're all really high in antioxidants. Coffee, tea, guayusa, mate, and cacao, they all are really high in other antioxidants.
So I'm not going to stop drinking it.
No.
I'm good.
No, you're good.
I thought you said cement at first.
B Because men who consume 250 to 375 milligrams of caffeine per day have a much lower risk of developing ED.
Hey, look at that.
There you go.
There you go. Don't tell Pfizer.
Oh, right.
Pfizer would hate you. Your show would be shut down. Right
so
away.
Much cheaper than...
Yeah, they'd buy the caffeine industry is what
they
would
do. Than the V-drug.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. My goodness. Caffeine may prevent tinnitus in women. Somebody studied it and found there's less tinnitus at ear ringing.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, again, that's probably a circulation issue, and maybe there's some damage to the nerves related to glycation. Who knows? So, but that's going to be a circulation and possibly a sugar issue to the nerve specifically for hearing. Reduces kidney stone risk. And I think the way that's going to do that is just because, again, it increases circulation. It's going to increase flow through the kidneys. And it's going to, it must have some way of reducing calcification. It says here that it's because caffeine makes your urine more dilute. So
right.
You more dilute urine, more water flow going. By the way, drinking lots of water will also reduce your kidney stone risk in the same way. So.
Yes.
Improves reaction time and logical reasoning when sleep is impossible or restricted. So if you're really tired and you have some caffeine, you'll think better. So that makes sense. Caffeine helps people with asthma. So again, because it's a sympathomimetic, it's going to increase circulation to the lungs, and it's going to cause both bronchodilation and dilation of the blood vessels leading to the lungs. So you're going to get more circulation and you're going to get opening of the airways because it's inducing the sympathetic response. And there's sympathetic receptors that accept the neurotransmitters like dopamine, norepinephrine, and epinephrine, which is going to open up the lungs. So that's why they used to give people with asthma theophylline, which is a drug that is a sympathomimetic, and it opens up the lungs. Well, caffeine is similar in that way. Reduces driver error. Doesn't that go back to you're more alert while driving? It's the same thing.
Right.
May prevent weight gain. Research out of Germany showed that weight loss study participants who drank 2 to 4 cups of coffee a day were more likely to be successful at keeping the weight off.
Right. And it's because it
has some appetite suppressant effects.
Yeah, definitely. When you drink a lot of coffee, you're not as hungry.
And also, again, I think it makes your metabolism more efficient, and it makes your liver processing of both fats and sugars more efficient. That's part of why.
Okay.
And caffeine can also reduce chronic inflammation. There was a study at Stanford that found that caffeine blocks the expression of a gene responsible for low-grade chronic inflammation as we age. So this is a genetic expression thing. So the inflammation eventually leads to high blood pressure. Now, the thing is, when you have caffeine, it can increase your blood pressure in the short term, but in the long term, it slows down. It slows down inflammation that can lead to high blood pressure, atherosclerosis, hardening of the arteries, and heart disease, and helps reduce this age-related inflammation effect. So there's also negative consequences of caffeine, but I think we have to talk about those another time. So that was pretty interesting. Why caffeine is good for you, and now. One caveat there is if you consume caffeine and you don't feel good or it does something bad to you, don't drink it or moderate how you drink it. And I will say that depending on your delivery system, you can have different experiences. So when you consume coffee, in my experience, coffee has the least buffering effect. That if you do full strength coffee, you get the most bang for your buck instead of how hard the caffeine hits you. When you get into tea, the plant Camellia sinensis, that makes your black tea, your green tea, your oolong tea, your white tea. They're all the same plant. It just depends on how long and how they're fermented and prepared. That plant has polyphenols that slow down, but so does coffee, has polyphenols that improve the functioning of the liver, but tea also has theanine in it, which is actually calming. We extract theanine from tea and give it to people to help them calm down.
Hmm.
And then you have other plants, and one of my favorites is guayusa. And guayusa is a rainforest plant. You can get it at the health food store. You can get tea bags, or you can get bottles of it. And you can also get energy drinks.
Guayusa.
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 Guayusa. USA. USA. Guayusa. and so, what? It's a rainforest plant, and it's very nice because when you consume it, it gives you kind of like your butter coffee, your bulletproof coffee. It's right. got like a sustained release effect. So it's my favorite thing to put in my water bottle. If I'm going to use a caffeinated substance, I do a little bit of guaiacin. I don't use a lot. I use maybe a quarter of a cup in a 20 to 24 ounce water bottle. But it's my favorite thing to use because it doesn't give me too much of a kick. But yet it does wake me up. So it's very nice. So there you go. So those are the health benefits of caffeine. So you've been listening to 91.7 FM WHUS Doors. I am Fran Storch. I have been here with my co-host Ron Meniza and my special guest Matt Finer, who Thank is you. One of the finer things in life. And we will be back next week with more talk here about health and natural medicine on 91.7 FM WHUS Doors.